You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? We're back with another episode coming at you from the wonderful Portland, Oregon, because I'm back. Yes, I got back from Nashville, as you can imagine, based on the title that you just clicked on. This is a NAMM recap episode, but if you're tired of NAMM and you don't want to hear any more NAMM stuff, you're in luck, because it's Ryan and I on this episode. Ryan from the 60 Cycle Hum Guitar Podcast. You can imagine, him and I get together. It's a lot of buffoonery. We've done several podcasts together over the years, and they always tend to go one way, and that is goofy. So this one is no exception. If you like goofy, you're going to enjoy this episode. We do talk about some of the differences between him and I's NAMM experiences, and we have a lot of points, so I won't spoil it all for you. But before we get right into that episode, I want to talk on a couple different points. So, first being, if you like this show and you like buying gear, you should be using tonemob.com/reverb for all of your reverb purchases. You know, us musicians, we become intimately familiar with reverb over the years. We're flipping pedals, selling stuff, all that good. Well, you normal people are. The hoarders like me, we just buy. We just accumulate from reverb. But if you are a normal person, you probably buy and sell. Well, if you go to tonemob.com/reverb, anything you do on reverb.com is going to help support the show. So if you're buying stuff, if you're selling stuff, or if you've never somehow heard of reverb and you're just signing up for a fresh account, that actually helps too. Just simply signing up for a new account through that link, tonemob.com/reverb, helps put some wind in the sails of this ship and keep things going. So if you could do that, that would be very much appreciated. Also, don't forget about the rest of the community. You know, we've got people hanging out on Instagram. We've got a lot of fun conversation happening in the Tone Mob Facebook group. I haven't talked about that in a little bit, but I'm going to talk about it now. So if you have not joined the Facebook group, it's right there. There's like 2,300 of us in there or something like that. We're just hanging out, talking gear, swapping recipes, as you can imagine. I guess we're not doing that so much as just showing off our wonderfully grilled and prepared meals. But yeah, we've got a bunch of foodies in there as well as gearheads, and anything that we talk about on the show is fair game. It's all fun, it's all good times, and we have a lot of great folks in there having a lot of fun. So that's the Tone Mob on Facebook. If you just search the Tone Mob, you'll find the page and the group. You'll want to join the group. Answer those questions though. We have a couple questions to keep robots and basically people who don't feel like participating in the group. We don't let anybody in unless you answer those questions. So if you've tried to get in before and were rejected because you didn't answer them, go ahead and answer them. Just three very simple questions. And as long as we know that you've read them, you can put just about whatever kind of nonsense in there you want. So yeah, check that out. And don't forget to join the newsletter, because we are still giving away pedals and other gear every month. So make sure you check out tonemob.com and hit the tab that says Join the Mob. And that is where I'll be sending a newsletter out about once a week. It's been a little bit less than that, you know, in recent times. So it'll be roughly once a week-ish. And one of those emails is going to contain a trivia question about the podcast. And all you have to do is be the first person to respond with the correct answer, and you will win whatever that month's prize is. It'll be in the email. We're having a lot of fun with that. And, you know, this is the end of the month, so it's probably coming up pretty fast. So I would go ahead and sign up for that today if you have not. Okay, enough of that nonsense. Let's get into the show with Mr. Ryan Burke. Hey, what's up, everybody? No,
that was a good take. That was good.
Oh, it was good? That was solid?
Not solid.
I might leave that in. We'll find out. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Tone Mob Podcast, the show about guitar tone and the buffoons behind it. And with me today, I have Mr. Ryan Burke of 60 Cycle Hum for a little something you guys are probably tired of.
Yeah.
NAMM recap.
We're going to put a cap on NAMM again.
Everyone else's NAMM recap actually came out right after NAMM, but I already had another episode ready to go, so your NAMM recap's a little late, everybody.
I'm going to be NAMM recapping until Christmas. Like, I'm always going to be talking about NAMM no matter what. So this won't be airing too late.
Yeah, that's true. It is just going to continue and continue on until everything is just going to be one big NAMM.
Yeah, exactly.
There will never be anything but NAMM.
We're all just
NAMM is us.
Living that NAMM life. No big deal. Once you've been to NAMM, it's all you can think about.
It is kind of, I mean, it is strange how much brain space that event occupies in my head. It occupies a good 22% of daily thought process, probably.
Well, I don't measure it in percentages. I measure it more in like emotional scores. And NAMM just takes up the entire like love and fear centers of my brain. Like that's just completely overwhelmed by NAMM. Love and fear at the same time.
Yeah. Now, this is actually something I wanted to talk to you about.
Yes. My patented emotional like way of compartmentalizing information that makes no sense at all.
Exactly. Exactly. No, what I was wanting to talk to you about is, so now I remember my first NAMM, and you and Steve were like my NAMM Sherpas.
Yeah.
You helped me through, and without it, I may have been destroyed. I may have been.
Well, the fact that you've gone down this life path of doing this stuff that we do, we might have ruined your life.
Maybe.
That day. We'll let the historians figure that out.
Yeah, I'm sure you and I are going to end up in a history book.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Very, very, yeah, absolutely well, going to be. Yeah.
History of NAMM.
It'll be, I don't know.
It'll be taught in every third grade class, you know, in the Bill and Ted future that we're destined for.
Oh, man, I can't wait for a Bill and Ted future.
I know, right?
Turn everything up to 11. Let's go.
Exactly. All right, so I'm going to stop derailing you. You get to the actual like useful content that you're trying to capture here.
I've never created useful content at any point in my career. So why would I start now?
I was just trying to be generous. But.
Exactly.
So we were your NAMM Sherpa at your first NAMM. What was that like? 16, 15?
15. Yeah. 2015 winter. I'm pretty sure was my first year.
Yeah. And we did that. We did that Paul Reed Smith interview.
Yeah. That was like being thrown to the wolves.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, by the way, can you come help interview Paul Reed Smith? I'm like, yeah, sure. Do we want to like prepare questions?
No.
Nah. I'm like, all right, I guess. I mean, Ryan's done this before. What do I know about it? I'll follow his lead.
I'd never done that before. No, I was still in the headspace of like, oh, I'm probably not going to do this very long. Might as well make waves and be weird and be a jackass, you know, so.
And that's weird because I was like, I was just barely getting started. And I was like, I want to do this for a while. I don't know if this is the way that you approach it.
Interestingly, we've never been offered an opportunity to interview Paul ever again. So that's weird.
Yeah, me either. Strange, yeah. Even though that's like what I do is interview people like him that they've never wanted to come back for some reason.
Weird. It's almost like we said things to him that were inappropriate and off topic and wasted his time.
It could be. Could be something like that.
Strange.
But welcome to the Tone Mob podcast.
Yeah, seriously. So. I mean, anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, go to the 60 Cycle Hum YouTube channel and search for Paul Reed Smith interview, and it'll come up. And it's just 15 minutes of nonsense and kind of a polarizing comment section where people are like, oh, how could you be so rude to Paul? And the other people are like, how could Paul be so rude to you? And in reality, we all just had kind of like a fun, silly time together.
We did. I don't think, and it's funny that we're revisiting this all these years later. Still to this day, the commenters don't really, I don't know if for whatever reason, the actual little interview we did, I don't think accurately captured the vibe in the room. Like we were goofing.
Oh yeah, it was straight goofing. I mean, Paul before and after, he was on board. He was like, yeah, you guys are wacky. I love this. Let's do this thing, which I appreciate.
Yes. And it was all in good fun. And I think a lot of people genuinely thought we were trying to what I was doing was just what I do.
You just talk about pizza.
Yeah. He's like, you want to talk
about
pizza?
And pretend you have a guitar podcast.
Yeah. That's all I want to do is just combine my passions. Like I keep hoping one day Andrew WK will do the podcast and we'll be able to do both. It'll be a wonderful thing.
There's no reason why he wouldn't.
There's not. That's what it's.
Have you tried to reach out to him?
I have not. All of the cool people that I never thought I'd get to talk to have pretty much came from other people, or like somehow indirectly we started talking and then it just happened. It hasn't been too many of me like actively going out and trying to find people, but I'm making headway in that department. I'm talking to a lot of metal guys right now, so
nice.
We'll see what happens next.
Yeah, you just gotta like look through his friends list.
Uh-huh.
Look for someone on his friends list that you know you could get easy. And then just in conversation, be like, oh man, it'd be so much fun to talk. I've always wanted to interview Andrew WK. And they'd be like, oh, you know what? I know him. And you're like, you do?
So shocking.
You do know him?
No way.
Whoa, I had no idea. You think you could introduce me? And it's like, you know, you got to stalk him a little bit.
Do I have to slide him a Bitcoin or something? How does that work? Yeah, how does that work on the internet?
Find him on the internet, slide into the DMs. Mm-hmm. It's all going to work out.
Okay. All right.
You know, go to his personal Facebook and like every picture of him.
Okay, just him.
Like going back years, just like every single picture. But if he's in a picture with another podcaster, don't like that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the professional. You've been doing this longer than I have, so this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't have nearly the experience you do actually interviewing people. Like, I refuse to do that anymore. So you shouldn't listen to anything I say.
Okay, I won't. I stopped years ago, actually, if I'm being honest. After the whole Paul Reed Smith thing, I was like, well, I think I better just find my own way. I think that's going to be the best.
Yeah, this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
But somehow, he does.
Yeah, it's just chaos over here. I don't know.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. So what do you want to recap about the most recent NAMM? We're talking about NAMM of old.
This is true. I wanted to talk about, so you are doing, you do NAMM. When you go to NAMM, you actually work. At least the last few that I've seen, you've been working super hard, where I am more just going around and, like I like to tell people, shaking babies and kissing hands.
That's work too.
It is, but it's easy. That stuff's easy for me because I like people, so it doesn't feel like work.
Oh, that's how we're different.
Yeah. Yeah, you hate people. You hate them so much.
I despise them. I'm disgusted by them.
Even yourself.
Ugh, I don't own a single mirror.
Yeah.
I refuse. It's really, I pay someone to edit the videos, so I don't have to look at myself or hear myself.
I
love guitars so much, and it's just caused me to fall into this weird, profession that just repulses me, where I have to look and hear myself and try to avoid it.
And other people too, even worse.
I have to meet people, I have to talk to people, interact with people. Oh, it's a nightmare every day for me.
Yeah.
I do work really hard at NAMM.
Yeah.
So it's a weird way to get back to that.
It is. But for those who don't know, like, you have a new setup. So basically, most of the listeners of this podcast, I would be surprised if they didn't already know about you and what you do with the YouTube stuff and the 60 Cycle Hum podcast as well. Since
I think you've got your own audience, man. I think there's some crossover there always is, but I'm sure you've got a lot of listeners who have no idea who I am.
Well, we should tell them, even though you've been on the podcast a couple times. Maybe we can give a brief overview before we go into describe how our NAMMs are different.
Okay. Well, my name is Ryan. I was born in August 1981. And do you want me to cover my whole childhood?
All the cool kids are born in August, so yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now I've got a guitar podcast and I've got a demo channel. So, I mean, that's all anyone really needs to know.
You can find them at 60 Cycle Hum. We've been internet homies and real life homies for a long time at this point. So, if you don't know, go get familiar.
So you want to talk about my recording rig that I had there.
Exactly. And like what you were doing, you were recording constantly. So
yeah. Oh, well, how many, unless I told you and I already spoiled it, how many videos do you think I got at NAMM?
Oh, I don't know. If I had to guess based on what I saw you do versus the amount of time I didn't see you and I know you were actually working, I would say probably 30 at least.
You got real close.
How
35 videos.
Yeah. In that, 3 days?
Over
two days?
Over 3 days.
That's so
many. That's more than more than 10 videos a day. It was, and I basically took a half day the second day. I only got like 6 videos the second day. I mean, third day. So I got the majority of that the first 2 days, which is just insane. And it just, like, I'm saying it's insane as someone who does other video work outside the gear industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can't even imagine what I would charge for that if, you know, a non-gear client was like, hey, we want you to cover an event and get 35 videos in 3 days. I'd be like, well, I'm going to need like a whole team of people, and I'm going to need, you know, resources, and I'm going to need a limo, and I'm going to need, you know, a cement truck. Like, I'm going to have to get the A-team together, yeah, you know, to make this happen. Like, this, it's just kind of like perplexing that I'm even able to pull it off. And at the same time, and I know that sounds like a weird brag or whatever, but at the same time, like, I'm not just, you know, on camera, like, interviewing people or like just talking or vlogging or whatever. I'm doing demos. Like, I'm doing something that I usually spend 2 days on at home.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it like 15 times a day.
Yeah. So you're doing these demos in like 15 minutes or a half hour, and then just,
yeah,
moving,
I mean,
on.
They're all just, you know, one take. Just accept whatever mistakes there are. Accept, you know, my crappy playing, whatever it happens to be in the moment. Accept that there's going to be a lot of noise in the mic when I'm talking. But somehow at the end of it, the vast majority of the videos will be publishable somehow. I don't understand it.
That's so crazy. I, like, every time I get set up to do a video, I'm sure that I spend a minimum of 30 minutes just trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And then, yeah, however many takes, like maybe 50 plus takes before I'm like, that'll work. And it's still not,
oh man,
still
it's
not that good.
It's exhausting. I'll blow through 20 takes just trying to get the intro right. Like, oh man, I completely like slurred, you know, half the syllables in my own name. I just sound like a drunk person right now. Just keep reshooting over and over again. And then you get to NAMM and it's like, oh yeah, I'll just do that. I'll just do 15 videos today.
It's a great idea.
No sweat. In what, NAMM is open for like 6 hours or something like that?
Yeah, something.
No, it's open for 8. So it's 10 to 6.
Oh, that's right. Right? Yeah, that threw me off. I thought it was went till 4. And one day I left early to go help Scott from Stringjoy set up some stuff at his shop for the little shindig they had. And and I thought I was only leaving like 15 minutes early. No, I left like 2.5 hours early almost.
When it closed on at 4, I mean, this is riveting stuff right here, but it closed at 4 on Saturday. People are on the edge of their seat. They're like, when did it close on Saturday?
Please tell me.
To find
Please
out.
Tell me so it can be different next year and none of this will matter.
Let's talk about the various bathrooms of NAMMs and their locations and qualities. The listeners are going to love that.
Well, I mean, the ones that attend will. That's it.
I mean, listen, the good bathroom is in the back right hand corner. Like, you go, don't mess with the other one on the other side. Go to that back one or that secret bathroom at the actual main entrance to the convention. Those are the two good ones.
Yep. The back one, if you, I mean, I'm guessing it, that he probably won't be this year, but if any of you followed any of the Tone Mob NAMM coverage on Instagram or the Facebook or whatever, you'll see that I decapitated myself.
Yes.
And then our listener and also podcast host Jonathan Diaz from the Effects Loop apparently deposited my body in the bathroom.
Yeah, and you took a picture of it like a real psycho.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine dumping a headless body into a bathroom stall and then taking a picture of it to show your friends. I mean, what a lunatic.
I know.
Right?
What a crazy person. It's almost as bad as the guy who takes the head, shoves it in his backpack, and then flies home with it.
I'm surprised TSA let you on an airplane with a human head in your backpack.
Well, I checked it, so maybe they didn't actually scan the bag. I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah. And if they had checked the bag, they would have stolen it. They'd be like, oh, free human head.
Yeah. I mean, I know somebody who could use this.
Yeah. So here's a side question.
Uh-huh.
You know how, like, Superman is always just strong enough to, like, overcome any adversity?
Yes.
Like, he just has just enough strength to just do that thing that you thought that he was, like, acting like it was going to be impossible. I have this theory that Superman would be able to rip his own head off.
I think Superman could, yeah, Superman could rip his own head off.
Superman could definitely rip his own head off. And it would seem like an impossible task because he is indestructible. But he is strong enough to destruct things that are indestructible. And he would be trying and trying, and everyone would be watching, and they'd be like, can he do it? And at the very last second, it would just pop right off, and everyone would be like, we knew he could do it. He saved the day. Somehow ripping his own head off will save the day in this scenario. But yeah. I mean, how come they never show that in the movies?
Because, well, I don't know what that has to do with anything, if I'm being perfectly honest. Usually I can find, like, there's a segue. I don't really know. I know we were talking about decapitation, but...
Right, right.
Mine was actually related to Nam, sort of, and I don't know right. what this Superman scenario has to do with anything.
Well, listen, if I've got my own podcast, or I've got to hold down the ship. If I'm going to be on someone else's podcast, I'm gonna derail it every now and then.
You're going to rock the boat a little bit?
Yeah, it's just my style.
Yeah,
so.
It's true.
Sorry.
It's true.
Sorry. But I have been wanting to talk about my Superman decapitation theory for a while.
That's an interesting theory. I'm with you on that, but I'm going to have to analyze it a little bit more before I can come to a conclusive decision.
Yes, I await your rebuttal.
I might come to the same conclusion, but I need to think about it a little bit more.
You are more than welcome to make that your new, like, closing question for all your interviews.
Can Superman rip his own head off?
Yeah, ditch the pizza talk. Just be like, hey, by the way, before we go, do you think Superman can rip his own head off?
It's a good question. It is a good question. Right. I'm going back to Nam, though. We're going to try. Okay. We're going to try. This is going to be hard.
We're going to try. Let's. Yeah, I think every time I've been on this show, it's been just...
Except the first time.
Information
I think
me.
The first...
Was the first time good?
Yeah, because I was like, tell me more about this 60-cycle hum thing. So you actually had, you know, things to talk about.
When it was new and exciting and before I was proud of myself.
You were proud of yourself back then?
I know, right?
Oh, wow.
What was wrong with me?
Yeah, I've never been that way. This is unique.
Yeah, it was a pretty good feeling.
But
it's all gone now. But
I bet it's not, though.
It's just
I bet it's
living that clickbait life now.
I know it's not all gone. You know why I know that?
Why?
Because
I'm here talking to you on a microphone recording myself.
Yeah, and because at NAMM you got an awesome new guitar.
Oh, man. Well, I'm not proud of myself with that. I'm proud of the guitar.
Well, I mean, you got to feel some kind of good feeling.
I do. I honestly feel when it was given to me, I felt a sense of like embarrassment because I feel like it's too much. Like I get gear all the time these days just because, you know, that's the nature of the business that I do, doing demos and whatnot. And I've gotten guitars over the years, but to be given like a guitar that, you know, I've actively watched for like 2 years now since I first saw it,
mm-hmm.
and have it just be like, oh, hey, by the way, this is yours now. And in no way be expecting it. Like, not in a million years would I even think that I would even be in the situation where I could buy that guitar. It's just like, felt very overwhelming to me and humbling in a way.
It's a beautiful guitar, and we should let you tell people about it. What is it exactly?
No, let's just keep it a mystery.
I will edit in and tell people about it if you don't.
Okay, no, it's a Nutter Astro Captain, Brian Nutter. I'd been hanging out with him during Summer NAMM, and I made some content with him, and we'd been talking off and on since the last Summer NAMM I went to 2 years ago, and he decided that he was going to give me this guitar, and it's just beautiful and it's amazing. It's got three humbucker pickups in it, coil cuts for every single one, out of phase options for every single one, all kinds of crazy switches on it. And it's just this beautiful, like, Jetsons wacky shape that I'm in love with. It's a stunning guitar.
It is. It's a great, great looking guitar. And it's also a very Ryan Burt guitar.
Oh, 100%. I mean, last night I hung it up on the wall in my recording area, in between my Hallmark Swept Wing, which is another wackadoodle guitar, and my Airline 59 3P, which is another like Jetsons wacky guitar. So it's found a home with some worthy friends.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece. I didn't get to plug it in, but the neck felt awesome. It looked, I mean, it's a extremely nice guitar. I need to get Brian on the show.
You really do.
I've known about his guitars for a long time. I don't know why that hasn't happened. That's dumb.
He's got a great personality too. He'll be a good interview.
Yeah, I got to get him on. He's doing good work over there, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. He's a teacher too. He does like music instruction or something like that.
Oh, so he knows like theory and stuff?
I think so. I actually don't know what subject he teaches, but I know he teaches at like a music college or something.
Oh boy. Well, maybe he shouldn't come on then. That might be embarrassing for me.
Yeah, the guitars thing is, I think, his side hustle, or maybe the teaching is a side hustle. I mean, you'd have to ask him.
Well, I know he does a great job on the guitars, so I'll reach out to him. But everyone should go check out his work. It's super, super cool. Like, really, really cool.
You should hit up Texas Toast Guitars, too. Those guys have, they make podcast material as well, and they build guitars. So, you know, they'd be a good, fun interview.
I love that name. I don't know anything about it. Right? That name's incredible. I love Texas Toast.
Here's the thing. They're based out of Colorado, but, like, they just love the name Texas Toast, and who doesn't? I mean, who doesn't love Texas Toast, like the food? It's just a thick slice of bread saturated with butter.
It's delicious.
And then toasted. Who wouldn't want that? It's like the perfect food.
I want that in my mouth. That sounds good. Mm. Mm.
I mean, you could throw a little cheese on there too, like a little cheddar cheese on top of it, and just calorie bomb, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm all about that life. A little bacon. Yeah. Oh.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there was a bunch of like cool guitars from like smaller builders that I was really digging on at Summer NAMM. The BA Ferguson stuff was really cool.
Oh yeah,
did you check those out?
Yes, I've played those a couple times. Those flyweights are the most aptly named guitars ever, and such rock and roll machines. Like,
and they just feel right.
They do.
Oh, they just. I mean, there's all kinds of guitars out there that are just bone simple like that, just wrap around tailpiece. Single pickup sort of deals, but these ones just had that feel where it's like, I could just play this all day.
Yep. Yeah.
This is just like, leave it on me all day. No matter what I'm doing, I can just play this guitar all day.
They are that light. Like, I think I could, like, they're like travel guitar light, but they're not a travel guitar. I don't know.
It's not just the weight of it. It's just like how quality of players they are. Just like, there's this pleasure factor when you're playing them. And it's amazing with, they don't have the stop tail wraparound that's got the intonation bumps on it, like you'd see like on an Epiphone or something like that. It is just a metal bar with no saddles, just a round metal bar for a bridge. And somehow, like, it just rings true across every note. Like, it's just perfectly dialed in somehow.
I don't know how he did it, honestly.
Either do I.
They're so
simple. Maybe it's just like some kind of trick that he's done, like he's like laced the back of the neck with some sort of hallucinogen.
Mm.
Where you pick it up and you just automatically have like an amazing experience because you've been drugged, maybe?
I think that might be it, because you know what? I've never heard anybody pick up one of those guitars and be like, meh, it's okay.
Yeah, and be like, oh, you know what? The intonation just falls apart past like the 13th fret. No, like you play it and it's like, man, it just sounds and plays good all the way up and down. Great guitars, and not expensive either for a handmade guitar.
No, they're totally
boutique guitar. They're like $1,100-$1,200 or something like that.
Yeah, I think they're.
I mean, you don't get a lot of features with them because it's single pickup, like simple. But man, you get a player.
I mean, like a really nice, like a just a really really nice solid, never gonna let you down, always do the thing. Just like I said, they're rock and roll machines. They're fantastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they look good too.
That's
subjectively. Other people might not think that they look good. I like stuff that's kind of crazy, but I think they look really nice.
I like them too. I do. Another favorite guitar I saw at NAMM that I haven't really talked about that I need to talk about.
Tell me about it.
I freaked out. Right.
You freaked out.
I did. I freaked out. I went to the...
Let me guess.
Okay, you guess.
There was like a Daisy Rock guitar and it was shaped like a pizza slicer and it was like sparkly.
I wish. That would have been really cool too. But this is actually much more usable.
And it probably actually exists. It's not just a thing I made up on the fly.
Yes, you're right. It does exist. But
all right, tell me about it.
It's made by Grez Guitars, and I can't remember the model number or name because I'm dumb. But he makes it in standard and baritone. It's a single cut. Doesn't really look like a Les Paul, though. It's more Gretsch-y looking. Not like big body Gretsch, but like the Penguins, kind of. So I mean, I could be giving this a very bad description, but it's a single cut that's not quite a Les Paul. But I played...
I think I'm looking at it right now.
What are they calling that thing?
It looks very simple. It's like a walnut finish.
Yeah, I think it's a cedar. Cedar body, I think, is the one I played.
It's got like, oh, I see another one. Which one did you play? Did you play one with a trapeze tailpiece or a Bigsby?
I played one with the housemaid trapeze big bar thing.
It looks very nice. I didn't see these at NAMM.
They were in an unfortunate spot because I actually like, at least not unfortunate really. They were on like a far edge. I was actually looking for them the whole time because I knew they were going to be there and they had a new model I wanted to try. But this thing blew me away and he had a baritone with gold foils in it.
Mm.
And I could not stop playing that guitar. Like I freaked out. I was like,
baritones are so much fun.
Especially with those gold foils. I'm finding baritones with low output single coil pickups are my jam.
Exactly. I mean, I've got my baritone Strat and it's just like, it's a never sell guitar. Like I'm always going to have that guitar.
Mm. So much fun.
Yeah. If you don't have a baritone and you're listening to this, like really like consider it. Like don't buy another humbucker guitar. Don't buy another, you know, Strat or whatever. Like get a baritone. Like round out your collection with something a little different.
It just opens up so many possibilities. And I don't play them like a typical baritone, like what you think a typical baritone player might play them. I still play them like myself. But it just offers up like a whole new range of guitar sounds that you didn't have before.
Yeah. I always said that if I became like a singer, songwriter, like solo person without a band, I would do like an acoustic baritone sort of thing because it gets you, you know, just enough low end to do some bass walking and to fill out your sound. But then you still get all the regular kind of guitar sounds along with it.
Yep.
They're just a wonderful thing. One of the best acoustic guitars I ever played was a 12-string baritone by Taylor.
Oh man, that sounds incredible.
Someone I knew had it. They had it like this like studio sort of thing that I was hanging out in, and I was like, man, I would take this guitar home with me right now because it is amazing.
That's an experience I have never had. I would love that.
to experience just holding a guitar and being like, oh yeah, I could own this. Yeah, that's a rare feeling.
No.
Our set of people.
I meant that one specifically, but.
Right, yeah. It was some sort of custom job too. The guy I was hanging out with, super rich dude, just gets custom stuff.
Oh, was it Steve?
I don't think he.
Super rich Steve?
Yeah, it was Steve. No big deal. Yeah. No, it was a weird story. Like this guy that one of my bandmates worked for who had, he is like, independently wealthy because he founded a landscaping lighting company that sold. So now he's just like sitting on like all kinds of money, like houses in Hawaii and all over the world money. And so he's got this home studio and doesn't actually know how to play music, but kept like hiring people and like having people come record in his home studio and stuff. And like he would be like buying instruments and whatnot just on a whim. It was wild. This was years and years ago.
That's really confusing to me. I
know.
I understand really enjoying music. I would think that if I was like a rich guy who just enjoyed music but didn't play anything, I don't know if I would invest in instruments and studio stuff. I think I'd invest in some crazy sound system.
Yeah. Or you think he'd be one of those guys that buys, you know, like auction guitars.
Yeah.
From like famous people or something like that. No, his thing was like, oh, I want to have a home studio and I want to like become like a producer, but like he didn't want to be the engineer. He was hiring my friend to be an engineer. He wanted to just sit back and like produce whatever he thought that meant. It was kind of an interesting guy, kind of a weird guy.
That actually makes more sense to me now. I could totally understand that.
Yeah, kind of hard to work with at times.
Almost like he was used to getting his way.
Yeah.
Huh.
Weird, right?
That's so strange. It's so
yeah. I mean,
so weird.
But he let my band cut a demo in his studio, so that was cool of him. But whatever.
Oh, I forgot. I didn't forget because I did post it on a few things. But the coolest thing, like ever, happened at NAMM to me. At least it was cool to me because I'm such a nerd.
Uh-huh.
Saturday,
You fell in love.
Well, I did that a long time ago. Yeah. Okay. So I'm done with that.
I got to meet your family for like a hot second.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did.
You got a cute little family there, Blake.
Oh, thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, good for you.
I don't know how that happened, you know. They had a...
I'm as surprised as anyone.
Like, wow, your family's surprisingly normal. And
yeah, good job.
They look like they might even enjoy being around you. This is so strange.
I know, right? Like, they wanted to accompany you to NAMM. That's incredible. sorry I interrupted you. Were you about to talk about the most like important like revelation and experience you ever had?
Not exactly.
Not that happened at NAMM.
Not exactly, but it was really cool. I got to go to a recording studio called Infrasonic Sound, and they had just put in like they'd just done this big expansion. I guess this was all news to me after I'd already been invited. But they just done this big expansion where they had set up a record lathe. So they can record and cut from the live room directly to vinyl live, like they used to do back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And a guy that's been on this podcast before, his name's Boo Ray, does like Americana type stuff. He invited me over and he was playing, and him and his band just killed it. And yeah, they recorded right to vinyl. I watched it being recorded. There was a bunch of people there. And then I started looking around at the studio, and I realized how out of place I was, because there was a bunch of Grammys on the wall. Like, that place had mastered Sturgill Simpson records, you know, just like a whole bunch of Chris Stapleton, a whole bunch of my favorite artists, Jason Isbell. That studio had done all the mastering on some of my favorite stuff that's come out in the last 5 years or so. And I was like, well, I didn't know that when I came here, and I was just talking to people from there and realizing how like there was like legit session players, like real guitar players and real producers and managers of big bands and all this stuff. And I'm like, they're like, yeah, what do you do? I'm like, I talk about fuzz pedals on the internet sometimes.
Oh, I'm just an influencer. No big deal.
No big deal, you know. I'm just like standing there with my nerdy self, just like, I don't know anyone here. Please accept me. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, you haven't heard of me? That's normal.
Yeah, no one has. Yeah, but it was so, everyone was super nice, and it was just, it was a really cool, interesting thing to see. I've been in nice studios before, but to actually see that happen and get to talk to like real, you know, real deal heavy hitters in my viewpoint. Maybe they don't view themselves that way, but that was really neat. I wasn't even there that long, but it was a really fun experience. And it could only happen in Tennessee, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, that town is just saturated with just professional musicians on a level that I didn't realize existed.
It's like, it really solidified back in the day, in the original version of Chasing Tone, they used to talk about Tennessee and Nashville a lot. And they were like, they always made a reference to the guy bagging your groceries could just play circles around you. And it's totally true. Yeah. It's 100% true.
Oh, yeah. It's nuts. It's the sort of thing where like I see some, you know, some dude just like picking up guitars at NAMM and like I'm just here messing around, and like the thing you just played, I can't even aspire to.
No. I'm like, that's substantially harder than me doing droning stoner metal riffs.
And it's just you just being like, oh, here's my tri guitar riff.
Yeah.
No. You get a little bit of that, you know, imposter syndrome working. It's like, okay, well, I probably don't belong in this industry.
Oh, that's exactly what I felt that Saturday night. I was like, what am I doing here? Like,
right. Like, how dare I?
Like, I'm
the
just
audacity of it.
I'm just in everyone's way.
Exactly.
I'm just still over here in the corner shoving nachos into my face like a buffoon and just wondering why I exist. Oh, man. Yeah. It was great, though.
I've always been more of, there's bands that I like and musicians I like, obviously, because I'm a human being. But you know, I've always been like more excited about hanging out with the builders and whatnot and the people behind a lot of the brands, because that's such a huge part of my fandom of guitar, is the products and, you know, this object worship that we get into with these, you know, these things.
Oh yeah.
that we want to have. And so I went to a party the night that I landed in Nashville. It was a Boss's party, and it's just like all kinds of builders there. I mean, obviously the president of Boss was there, Yoshi was there, and like every time I'm in the room with him, I'm like, there he is, there's Yoshi, there's the president of Boss.
Yes.
Like, the first pedal company that I was ever aware of. There he is. And I actually found myself in the line for the bathroom with him behind me, which wasn't at all awkward or weird at all. So I had to make it awkward and weird.
Of course you did. Why wouldn't you?
So I like turn around in the bathroom line, which you should never have conversations waiting to go to the bathroom, because everyone waiting for the bathroom line has to like defecate. That's what we're waiting to do. Like the thing that we're not supposed to acknowledge in like normal culture that we do. Like you're standing there like showing the world that you are
it's going your turn.
To go do something.
Yeah.
You're going to go do a primal thing in a little room.
and we're not to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. We're supposed to pretend that doesn't happen.
The problem is, though, Ryan, like, you like to make people laugh. And so you absolutely should not to talk to anyone in the bathroom line, because you could cause problems.
I know. Well, me and Yoshi are standing there doing the pee-pee dance, like, waiting for whoever's taking a shower in the bathroom. It's taking forever.
That was me. Sorry.
And so I strike up a conversation with him. I'm like, hey, the new 200 series stuff looks really good. The synth pedal sounds awesome, blah, blah, blah. You know, name dropping Matt so I can get him a promotion. Like, hey, Matt Knight's a really cool employee. I like talking to that guy. And then we both have this moment like, oh, this guy's taking a long time. And I have this thought in my head where I'm like, should I offer Yoshi my place in line? Should I let him go first? Like, I don't know where that thought came from, but it seemed to make sense at the time. And I was standing there like thinking about it. And I was like, no, if I do that, he'll take it as a sign of weakness. So to increase the awkwardness, when the person came out of the bathroom and it was free to go in there, I turned to Yoshi and was like, don't worry, I'm really fast. and he looked at me like confused and like, why would anyone say that to me? And then I went in the bathroom, I did my thing, I came out, and I was really fast, and I could see the look on his face, and he was impressed.
Did you give him finger guns on the way out?
I gave him a little nod and a knowing look, like, I told you I was fast.
Yeah.
And like, so I saw him in his face, like, yeah, that was fast. Thank you for being fast.
We both have awkward Yoshi stories, and I won't rehash the whole of mine, but not the previous WinterNAMM, but the WinterNAMM a couple years ago, Jess and I accidentally almost stole his Uber at the Earthquaker party, which I've talked about before. I think I talked about it with Jay, but yeah, it was the same thing. One of those classic things, like our car was a black Corolla, his car was a black Corolla. We happened to walk outside before he did, but he called his car first. And uh-huh. We got in, all of a sudden there was like his assistant or whoever was with him was like, hey, 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 that's my car. And we're like, wait, we're the black Corolla. And it was like, we were like in the car, and it was like, oh no, wrong license plate.
Yoshi says it's his car. It's his car, man. Back off.
He didn't say anything until he got in the
car. It was his guy.
Yeah. And then he got in the car, and as I was getting out the other side, and he was just laughing, I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal your car.
I don't want anyone to think that I'm trying to, like, we're trying to paint a picture that Yoshi is some sort of intimidating character. He's honestly, like,
super nice.
Super nice.
Yes.
And down to earth. And, like, a really quality follow on Facebook, too. Look him up on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. And the gram. He's good on the gram, too. He's
good on the gram?
Yep. He's on.
Are we calling it the gram now?
I thought we were. I thought we had been calling it the gram for years. Then
I have never called it the gram, but I'm ready to commit to that.
Oh, yeah. You do it for the gram. You know, like when you're taking pictures, you're doing it for the gram. Like,
it's for the gram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People understand when you say that now. It's not weird or narcissistic at all.
Yeah. Take it to the gram is what I'm going to say now.
I like it. To the gram. Yeah.
To the gram.
Yep. The Instagram.
Over the river and through the woods to Instagram we go.
That's right. We post our memes. Ho, 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 ho.
Wait, this is... This track slaps. We gotta lay this down on vinyl.
We want to put it on vinyl? I got a studio. I know a place we can go. It'll probably only be like 15 or 20K. I'm sure that's
in
all.
In a year when we're back at Summer NAMM, let's book some time in the studio. We'll go in. We don't have to rehearse. We know where the song is going. We'll just lay down that hot track.
Oh, man. Then they won't know it's what hit them.
It's going to race to the top of the charts. It's going to break records. To Instagram we go is going to be at the top of everything. It's going to be like that that Horses song that everyone is listening to.
I've still successfully avoided listening to that, and I'd like to continue that trend.
Yeah.
I can tell that I don't even, you know, I like to taste things. I like to try things, kind of know what I'm talking about. In this case, I don't need to. I'm good.
It's a good song. It's a good song, Blake. You shouldn't avoid it.
I don't want to listen to it.
Blake, listen to the song.
No, I got too many other things I got to listen to. There's a new Fit for an Autopsy record I got to check out. So
I don't even know what that is, but you got to hear this horse song, man.
I don't want to hear the horse song. I don't want to.
It's like country, but not.
And I've heard enough of that in my life. I don't need any more of that. That's okay.
But it's not like the other not country. It's good not country. Blake, I want you to listen to this song.
I'm not listening.
What have I got to do to get you into this song right now?
I'll tell you what. If we get another $5 Patreon subscriber out of this, I'll listen to the song and I'll listen to it. I'll listen to it live in Patreon and give my reaction.
So I got myself into some trouble last night. Speaking of like getting $5.
Okay.
Steve and I podcasted last night, our next two episodes. And we got it done fairly early, earlier than normal. And we're like, hey, we should like do a live video because we almost never do that, like YouTube live thing.
Yeah.
And we started doing it. And I started taking shots for super chats.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, so how are you doing this morning then?
I'm all right. I cut it off before things got dangerous, but I think I did get like 6 or 7 shots of tequila deep. Thanks to people sending me $2 to $5 at a time, just all it takes apparently. And of course Steve was egging the whole thing on, but that super chat is dangerous stuff. It makes you drink tequila.
Maybe I don't understand what that is. I thought I did, but now I don't.
So when you do a live video on YouTube, I think you have to have a certain amount of subscribers to be eligible for it. No big deal. I'm a humble brag.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like there's this little dollar icon and people can send you money as like a tip for whatever reason. They get, like people have sent me random little super chat tips for like premiering a video. Like I do the premieres where people can chat while it's premiering. And I just got a bunch of them last night that made me drink tequila. Like they're just like, oh, here's $5. Have a shot on me.
Wow. Is that like a new thing maybe that the people are?
I don't think so. I think it's them trying to like do, what's the gamer video?
Twitch?
Site. Yeah. I think that's a Twitch thing that they've brought over. I don't know when they started doing it. But actually Phil McKnight told me how much money he makes doing that per live video, and I was like, oh, I see why you do live videos now.
Oh, wow. That is,
yeah.
I was looking into Twitch here recently, like trying to explore, like, all right, would this be any good for guitarists? And I know that somebody's gonna get there and like set up this channel before I do and like some wildly successful thing. But the old man in me was like, this is the dumbest thing like I've ever seen. I don't understand.
Let someone else pave the way and do the work. I don't want to do the work to be the first guitarist on Twitch.
The thing is, though, every time they
convince, like,
what if you were Andy Martin? You know what I mean? And
what if I was?
And you were the first YouTuber doing that. Like at the time, it probably seemed really silly and dumb, but in retrospect, it was genius.
The way I replied to you just sounded super bitter. Yeah, what if I was Andy Martin, Blake?
Well, if you were,
what would I do then, Blake?
Well, if you were, you'd be a lot nicer.
Yeah,
you would, and
better at guitar,
and better at guitar, and you'd live in Portland, and I'd come over.
He moved to Chicago.
No, he's still in Portland.
Oh, and he just telecommutes, huh?
Yeah, I went to his house and he looked at his setup, and then I got a red pepper flake in my eye, and I was crippled for 15 minutes on his kitchen floor.
What?
Yep.
What?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I would pay money to let Andy pour red pepper flakes into my eyes.
So this was really rough. So I've told you before, and I've made mention of it on the podcast briefly, but I have a problem eye. I got a bum eye. A lot of people.
I know. There was an incident.
Yeah. And it's a little sensitive. And somehow I was eating. I was like, I'm bringing over pizza, Andy. And he's like, yeah. And we were.
Of course you are.
Yeah. And we were sitting there eating it, having a good old time. And all of a sudden I like fell out of the chair. I was like, oh, dude. And a red pepper flake got in the bad eye. And it.
Oh, my gosh.
It was like, it hurt so bad. I stuck my head under his faucet for like 15 minutes. And I feel like this. You could not have told me this was going to happen today if in a million years. Like this.
How embarrassing.
It was. It was really embarrassing.
Andy's just watching you writhe on the floor and rinse your eye out. And he's just like, oh, man, how do I get this guy out of my house?
Pretty much. Yeah, I'm sure
that's what Andy's like.
Yeah, he's totally not nice and helpful at all. He didn't like care.
He's one of the few people like I get starstruck.
He's so cool.
I've met him a couple times at Winter NAMM or whatever. And every single time I talk to him, it's just like I make a big old fool of myself and I gushed about meeting him to him. it's awkward every time.
And on podcasts too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just you're making it better now, so don't worry.
I'm doing it again. Here I am. He commented on one of my Instagram videos of me playing guitar, and he said something like, "Nice jam." Two words.
Yeah, nice jam, bro.
Made my whole day.
That would make my J. Speaking of other cool dudes,
that'd make your J. Yeah. You know,
Jay Leonard. J. Speaking of other cool guys.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
So many cool guys.
I know.
This is where the imposter syndrome kicks in. Because I'm I'm not as cool as either of those guys, yet we kind of do similar things. But they're way cooler than I am.
Yeah.
How do you combat that?
Well, I take super chats for tequila shots. That's what I do. I get people to pay me to make the bad thoughts go away.
To self-medicate.
I'm just joking. I don't have any sort of alcohol problem. But if those super chats keep coming in, I'm gonna. I got to find something other than booze to inspire super chats.
Well, you got to just pretend it's booze and pour it. Just have an empty bottle or a bottle of vodka that's just water. You'll be fine.
Yeah, just water.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
Yeah, well, now that we've discussed it, I can't do that. Thanks. Everyone's heard the secret plan now.
I'll edit the. No, well.
People would figure it out after I put away a whole bottle of like Kirkland vodka, and I'm acting normal because I can't act for anything. I can't act drunk. I either have to be drunk to act drunk, or I just have to be drunk. I don't know where I was going with that.
To me, it just sounds like we got a clip of Ryan saying, "I have to be drunk," and I'm going to use that.
Yes, I have to be drunk. I, Ryan Burke of 60 Cycle Hum, have to be drunk to appear to be drunk. I can't fake that.
I'm just going to cut that one section out and just post that soundbite just everywhere and just see what happens.
Just wait for me to start my political career.
No, we've got much worse tapes of you to ruin your political career.
Yeah, I mean, if Jonathan Diaz ever wants to ruin my life, he's got an hour worth of content from his unpublishable episode that we recorded.
Yes. Oh, that's dangerous. Dangerous talks.
I actually revisited some of that in our next episode with Steve.
Of course.
He doesn't know that that was stuff I've been talking about and thinking about for a while. So tune in on Monday, to episode 285, I think.
Yours usually come out before mine, but yeah, it'll be the same day this episode drops.
Oh, okay. Yep. Same day. Yeah. Hey, when you're done listening to this, go do something meaningful with your life. Don't waste your day listening to my podcast. Now, if you want to go listen, it's episode 285.
Perfect.
I'll be talking about stuff that shouldn't be mentioned.
285.
I know.
That's a lot of episodes.
It's actually not all our episodes. We actually have like 400 individual recordings on our Podbean.
You do? Wait.
Yeah, because we have, you know how we do the ad week thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where we split it into 5 days instead of one episode.
Oh,
we
have a bunch of those. That's right.
We have a bunch of like side content that aren't episodes, and so we didn't number them. And so we have like way more than we actually look like we have when you look at our episode number. But I mean, we got we've got 6 years of content here. It's nuts.
Yeah. I finally understand how you were able to do it. I didn't understand for the longest time, like, how is he able to produce so much? And now that I'm sort of in that game a little more, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. It, like, you just have to be efficient with things. It's doable.
Yeah.
It's hard. It doesn't make it not hard, but it's doable.
You just got to throw all your delusions of quality out the window. It's just quantity. Just as much as you can, you know?
I still can't. People, I still can't do that.
I have faith in you. I think you can do it. You know, people remember the good moments. And it's like you got to have a lot of just like nonsense stuff that doesn't work to find those good moments.
Like, I'm going down. Sorry.
Yeah, the pepper flake is back.
It's coming back. To get you. It's taking me out again. Yeah.
It found you.
Oh, no.
You look out your window and there's a red pepper shaker like on the front doorstep. You like run out the back door and jump the fence.
I could do that. I could actually do that.
I believe you.
Except the people behind me, the jail behind me would wonder why I was bailing into their property, but there's that.
Is there a jail behind you?
There's a jail behind me.
I didn't know that.
It doesn't feel like it. Like you would never know, but...
Right.
Because I have like this massive hedge that separates us. But yeah, there's a jail.
So you could like look over the hedge and it's like orange is the new black over there.
No, I can't really see anything. And it's like a county jail. It's not like some security thing. It's just a small, it's a drunk tank, basically, as far as I understand it.
Okay. I mean, if we're going to talk jails.
Okay. Might as well.
Real quick.
Yeah.
There's this town in California up the east side of it. In the high desert, and they've got one of the oldest still functioning courthouses in the country there, but they have like a modern kind of like facility piggybacked off the back of it.
Okay,
and I was there for some vacation travel a few years back, and I saw the prisoners walking around in the prison yard wearing black and white stripes, like old school black and white stripes.
Really? Whoa!
I was like, I didn't know that was still a thing. I thought it was all orange jumpsuits.
I've never seen that before outside of TV.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, outside of like old timey movies and cartoons and stuff like that. Like, I thought those days were done, but still we're putting people in stripes, I guess.
I didn't even know, like, for sure, outside of the few like clips I've seen, I was like, it was one of those things like, how widespread was that? Because there's some things from the old days where it makes it seem like that's what the way it was, and it really wasn't. And I always wondered if that was the case, but if it's still around today. My gut says.
I almost wonder if they're like, hey, we're this historical, you know, courthouse in, you know, like this kind of old West town. Let's lean into it. We're going to get custom striped pajamas for the prisoners.
I feel like
it's like a fun thing, you know? It's fun. It's fun for the prisoners.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're just having a great time. They're in there breaking rocks as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. They were totally breaking rocks.
Oh, man. All right, Ryan, we're coming down to the last.
They have those old-timey metal balls chained to their leg.
And they're just breaking rocks for no reason.
And, you know, I could see the look in their eye, and I could tell they just kept having the conversation like, you know what, it's not fun being in prison, but I'll be damned if this isn't, like, just super charming right now. if I was going to go to any prison, this is going to be the one.
Yep,
it's just
well,
charming,
yeah. It's so quaint. It's a quaint prison.
Isn't the nostalgia. It's just hitting me right there.
Yeah, this is back like when I used to go to prison back in the 20s.
Yeah. Are you ready to talk about guitar stuff yet? Have we warmed up enough?
I think I feel like we could probably talk about guitar stuff now, but I did want to ask you, since we're getting close, what was the coolest thing you got to play at NAMM?
Coolest thing I got to play at NAMM. Man, that's a toughie.
I know. There was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff. And I played a lot of it. I don't know, man. I don't have an answer for that. You asked a hard question.
Okay, which is the one that sticks out the most? Maybe it's not the coolest, but it's one you're just like, ah, that was great.
You know what? I keep thinking about the Squire Starcaster.
Okay, okay.
For $400, the classic vibe Starcaster, it was a phenomenal guitar that was blasting away guitars twice its price at NAMM.
I did not play that one. I'm going to have to try it.
You should have. They're not going to come out till November, so you're going to have to spend all this time just wondering. Yeah.
I hate wondering.
The FOMO now. The fear of missing out. You don't get to have a real opinion on these things till November, man.
That's never stopped me from expressing my opinion just because it wasn't real. Therefore, I probably will anyway.
You know what? I thought about playing those, but then I didn't because I was just like, I could tell. Not any good at all.
To be fair, I did think that about the Acoustasonic when I first saw it. I was like, I was like, oh, it looks like pancakes, and like
it does look like pancakes
and whatever. But like seriously, this NAMM is when I came around. I played one. I played some of the new like exotic ones with their cool little squirrely necks and stuff, or swirly. That's probably a better way to say it.
They could be squirrely too.
They weren't squirrely. They felt great. They were legit.
Yeah.
But
I picked up one for like 5 minutes at last winter NAMM, and I was like, hey, this is a great guitar. And no one should complain about this. You can either afford it or you can't. Whatever. That's on you.
What really sold me was, so I played it. I was like, actually, this thing sounds really good. Plugged it in. I was like, okay, I get it now. But what really sold me was when I landed from NAMM, I Leon and Jess and some of the other, my local homies were going to the Rock and Tours concert, and
oh nice,
Trey from Retroactive Pedals is drum teching on that tour, and he invited me to come out, and I was like, oh, I just landed from NAMM, I'm gonna be so tired, and then I gotta drive all the way out. It's like, it's quite a ways from where I was,
right?
But I did it, and then Jack White pulled out his signature Acoustasonic and just blew my face off. It was amazing. So I'm down with the Acoustasonic now. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I think they feel really fun. I think they do some cool stuff. I think you gotta like kind of like pick out of them like which one looks the way you want them to look, because some of them look kind of dumb.
Yeah, some of them.
Just the combination of like color and woods and stuff like that. But if you find one that's kind of classy, then good for you.
That was my big like aha moment from NAMM. Everything else I either kind of saw coming or I don't know, like. Or
yeah.
It didn't just completely blow my mind. The old Blood Booth had cool stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that like Fender has messed around with like the Acoustasonic kind of concept for so long, and it's always been kind of just like an abject failure.
Yes.
And then they're like, you know what? Let's do something crazy. Let's like double down on that concept and make a really high end version of that. Even though everyone just kind of makes fun of the low-end versions. Like, it's kind of a baller move on Fender's part.
I think they just really, they know what they have. Like I said, I didn't give it a fair shake. I'm really, really guilty of doing that with certain things. Usually music, like Old Town Road. But once I finally...
You gotta listen to this horse song.
I'm not listening to the horse song. Not gonna Blake, do it.
I'm gonna call you. I'm gonna play it over the phone at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're not gonna have enough wits about you to turn it off.
You can try.
I've heard the song.
I have an impenetrable wall of Do Not Disturb set every night, so you can go ahead and give it a try, but you're just gonna get voicemail.
All right.
And then I'll listen to the voicemail the next day and be like, "Oh, he got me.
He got me." I'm gonna send you a transcript of the song, and you're gonna read it halfway through and realize what it is.
Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't have a clue what I was reading for a good long while.
I interrupted you somewhere back there, and I'm sorry for that. I don't know what you were saying.
To be fair, I don't either, so I guess it doesn't matter that much.
That's what I do. I'm a professional interrupter.
Yeah, and I'm the person who I have a tendency to be a professional interrupter, but but I'm interviewing people, and so I have to be like, and it's not because they are doing anything wrong, the guests. It's because I'm trying to butt in and realizing I shouldn't.
So,
so I understand your plight is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. I get excited and I'm like, oh, that thing, I want to talk about that thing. Forget the more interesting thing that you were bringing up.
Yeah, I want to talk about the intricacies of salami. Like, that's all I want to talk about.
I do want to talk about salami.
I love salami. I've been eating salami and pate lately. Oh, boy, it's good stuff.
Salami and pate. You put the pate on the salami?
Yeah, I like roll it up.
Have you ever had a salami and peanut butter sandwich?
No, but I'm down. I can see how that would go.
Someone told me about it and was like, no, that's crazy. And then I thought about it for a few days and was like, okay, I'll try it. And it's not something I make for myself on the reg now.
Mm-hmm.
which means that's short for regular, on the regular.
Right.
But it's like, I get it. I get why someone would want to eat that.
I do too. It makes sense now. And also, yeah. I would say I have eaten straight peanut butter and then taken a bite of salami just randomly. And yeah. It was a nice little thing going on.
I mean, people think of peanut butter as one thing. There needs to be like a pork, the other white meat, or what's for dinner, beef campaign for peanut butter, where it's like, peanut butter, who knew? And it's just like showing people putting peanut butter on things you would never expect. I like to put peanut butter on my hamburgers.
I've had a hamburger with peanut butter on it before. It was good, which is strange, but it was good.
I put peanut butter on almost all my hamburgers. I'm at the point where I would pick peanut butter on my hamburger over bacon.
And yet again, that sounds insane, but having experimented with it, I understand what you're talking about.
I mean, it's salty. It's got, you know, a savory thing going on. It just works with like meat for some reason. I mean, and it makes sense when you think of it about it in terms of like peanuts in like Kung Pao chicken.
Yeah.
Or things like that. Like, it's not different than that.
No.
It just happens to be peanut butter, the thing that we're used to, you know, like having, you know, peanut butter sandwiches and stuff like that. It's a very kind of like adolescent food in the American mind.
I love peanut butter a lot, though. I just eat it. Like, I'll just be like, I'm hungry. What do I have? I'm like, I'll just take a scoop of peanut butter.
Well, it's full of protein and oils and stuff like that. It's good food.
It's yummy. I love peanut butter.
Yeah, and it's delicious.
Mm. I'm going to have a scoop when we're done with this.
This is exactly the way I expected this podcast to go. So we end up talking about a bunch of nonsense and then end up on food.
Of course.
Here we are. We're doing it.
I mean, this is the way this podcast always goes. It's the natural, natural progression. It's the way my mind works. We had some reverb guys coming out to Portland here. They were going to come out a couple weeks ago, but that didn't work out. But they're going to be coming out for some fun stuff that I can't quite talk about yet. But cool. I did, of course, immediately after talking about all the fun gear stuff that I could, you know, show them and take them around to, it was like, also, you're going to eat good if you're with me. So you're going to want to stick with me. So
I really need to come up there and do like a Pacific Northwest like tour of shops. And like, I've been thinking about it, like, because I did the Toman TGU thing.
Uh-huh.
And I've got this whole travel rig that I used again at Summer NAMM. I could take this show on the road. I could get some sponsors together and go like do some like geography based, you know, like guitar content. Like, I come up there, I hang out with you. I go to a bunch of shops. I go visit a bunch of builders up there and I get, you know, like a bunch of videos at each place and, you know, just make a thing out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you should, because there's a lot to see up here. There's a lot of things. Yeah. And then you got Seattle, and then, I don't know. I think it would be fun. I don't even know, like, in the time that I've known you, have you came to the Pacific Northwest at all? I don't feel like you have.
I've been there before, but not while doing all this stuff. I went and visited some friends in Portland, I want to say, like, 7 years ago or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, it's changed quite a bit. So I have been there. So
I have been there. And I was up there for a wedding, like, a decade ago.
Yeah, come on up. We'd love to have you.
Okay. I'm on my way. I'm packing my bags now.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll see you in, 3 hours, 4 hours?
Yeah. I'll be... it actually is not that far of a flight.
No, it's really not.
Oh, and you know what? I've got flight credit because this is going to be really riveting stuff for the listeners.
Okay, yeah.
I was supposed to have a super early flight out of Nashville, and I was like, this is bogus. Why did I schedule myself this way? I don't want to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Of course not.
And I got onto the airline's website. And they were like, hey, you want to switch your ticket to a later flight? We'll give you $175 credit.
You're like, 100%. Yes, I do.
I already wanted to do that. I will take your credit.
Here, I thought you were going to charge me. This worked out really nice.
Yeah, this is a good deal for all of us. Thank you.
Nice.
So, yeah, I've got money with American Airlines that I could use to get up to Portland if I wanted
to. There you go. Well, we're ready for you.
Yeah. Portland's ready for me.
They are.
Here I come.
I speak for the city of Portland, and when I say we're ready, come on up, Ryan Burke.
Go change the sign at the entrance to Portland. It's going to say, Portland, we're ready for Ryan. No one will understand what it means.
I just rip up all the carpet in the airport and just replace it with welcome Ryan carpet.
How embarrassing would it be if I showed up and Portland wasn't ready, though? Like, just like, no one's around, like the food's not set up, you know, like this, like, it's like you show up like 2 hours early to a party and it's like, oh, I can't really entertain you. I'm getting the party ready. That's what all of Portland will be like.
No,
not ready.
You clearly haven't been here in a while. We're always ready for a party. Always. Well, I feel like we might as well wrap that up. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about pizza a little bit? I know that's your thing.
No, I'm done with that. I'm over it.
All right. Pizza sucks.
Yeah, pizza's awful. Don't eat it.
Boo pizza.
No, I love pizza. Eat it all. Eat it all the time. You have anything new to reveal on the pizza front?
Do you remember when I introduced you to the rep over at Harmony?
Yes.
And you guys started talking pizza?
Yes.
And then you both like mentioned what your favorite pizza place is in Nashville?
Yes.
And I was like only halfway paying attention to you guys at that point. I was like about to go talk to someone else. For some reason, like the name of the pizza joint stuck in my head. And then later that night, I was in a car with the people I was Airbnb-ing with. And we're looking for pizza places. And the driver pulls up a Yelp. It's like, hey, how about this place? It's got 4.5 stars. The other place has 3.75 stars. And I was like, I think that's the place that Blake and Lauren mentioned. And so I texted you and you confirmed it. We went and got that pizza and it was excellent.
5 Points Pizza in Nashville is legit. It's really good.
5 Points Pizza. Go eat it. It's good stuff. I got the one that's covered in meatballs and meat and stuff. And
oh, yeah.
Really great. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Good crust. Good crust on that pizza.
It's an important feature, and they nail it. So
yeah, they do. Not too many toppings, just the right amount.
I love it.
Yeah.
Shout out to 5 Points.
Yeah, 5 Points. You did it.
All right, everybody. Make sure you go check out Ryan's podcast if you haven't already. And sure. And if you are expecting it to sound something like this, that's accurate. It would sound like 50% of this.
We have more of a gear centric kind of show than you.
Than our
hosts know how to keep the train on the tracks.
Sure they do.
Sorry to throw shade, but just saying, you know.
Yeah, they know how to keep something on the tracks. That's for sure.
No, it's a bunch of nonsense.
Yes, it's a good time. Everybody go check it out.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, thanks for coming on. This was fun.
You bet.
Bye.
Thanks for having me, Blake.
All right, there's another one in the can, folks. Remember to check out their podcast. Already said that a bunch of times, didn't I? Probably should stop saying that same thing over and over again. But that's what I do, I guess, is just repeat myself and repeat myself. No, but seriously, one thing I've been working on and putting a lot of elbow grease into lately has been IGTV. If you don't know what IGTV is, it's sort of like Instagram's YouTube, basically. That's the easiest way to put it. I've been putting a bunch of pedal demos up there and a bunch of weird little clips where I make strange sounds with different effects. I'm actually going to be working on some pretty cool stuff for that this week, so if you want to follow along with that, it's just on the Tone Mob Instagram. You don't have to download the special IGTV app. You can watch everything right through your normal Instagram feed. You just go follow at the Tone Mob on Instagram and you can see all that stuff. Some of that will probably be sliding its way over to YouTube. A lot of them I've shot in vertical format because that's initially what IGTV looked for. And I was trying to make like as immersive as I can. You know, when you do a vertical video on a larger phone, it looks pretty cool. I used to think it was really stupid, but now I think it's pretty cool. So I've been doing a lot of that. Some of it I've shot horizontal or the more normal style, and I'll probably slide some of those over to YouTube as that's where most people watch pedal demos. But I have a lot more followers on Instagram, so that's where I've been posting them so that the most people can get anything out of them they might enjoy. So yeah, check all that out if it's something you are interested in. I've been asked to make videos for years, and I finally like actually started doing it. It's still a work in progress. I welcome any feedback, and wear headphones. I mix these bad boys in stereo and they sound so much cooler if you wear headphones. In fact, some of them don't even sound the same at all when you're just listening through the regular phone speaker, so make sure you put on some headphones for that, like you're probably doing right now. So yeah, I think that's it for this week. I will talk to you next time. If you need more Tone Mobbery, of course you can find it on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/tonemob, There are extra episodes that go up every week. This week, I'm showing people one of my favorite analog delays and some of the crazy sounds you can get out of it. And later today, my good friend Mr. Justin Porter is coming over to record some extra Patreon content. A lot of people love it when he comes over by the Shred Shed, and that's a big part of what we do over on Patreon. So if that's your thing, patreon.com/tonemob, where for $5 a month, you get lots of extra content delivered to your ears. All right, I'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks so much for tuning in. Bye-bye. One last thing before we totally sign off here. I just want to remind you that if you do any shopping at Stringjoy, that's Stringjoy Guitar Strings made in Nashville, that will help me out as well. As I've said for years, I'm heavily involved in that company, and I really do think they're making the best products on the market. So if you would like to try custom strings, go to tonemob.com/stringjoy and check them out today. I seriously love what the team down there is doing. I help them out with all kinds of things, and by you supporting them, you are also supporting me as well. And hey, you need some strings, so why not get some custom strings just for your guitar and playing style? Again, the link for that is tonemob.com/stringjoy, and that will take you right to their website, and you can do all your shopping through there, and that will help everyone involved out. So thank you very much. Talk to you next time. We are brought to you by the wonderful folks at Gun Street Wiring Shop. Yes, Gun Street Wiring Shop. I've talked about them before. I used to say based out of Bend, Oregon, but guess what? Sean moved to my neck of the woods. Sean's in Portland. Sean is awesome and has helped me with a bunch of stuff lately. And if you have wiring needs for your guitar, he can help you too. If you want to get weird with it, he can get weird. If you just need to spruce things up a little bit, there's your guy. He takes all the guesswork out of doing your guitar wiring, and he makes it simple, and his customer service is top-notch, and I can't say enough good things about Gun Street as a company. I really respect Sean and what he's all about, and the product is top-notch. I've got 3 different guitars that now have Gun Street harnesses in them, and I could not be happier. So go to GunStreetWiringShop.com and check them out.